But that one encounter with Sister Coleman revolutionized my life. If you've ever heard of who she is, you just need to Google, because she was a unique individual.
This is Global Air Force with your host, Jim Rome.
Praise God. It is another beautiful day. Thank you for tuning into Global Radio. Today I want to share with you the ministry of the late Dr. James Maloney. He has had a remarkable ministry, pacemakers disappearing in people, arms growing out, many remarkable miracles, hundreds and hundreds, probably thousands. But I have been in the same place, having the experience that he did. For example, his ministry began with an experience at one of Catherine Coleman's meetings in Melodyland, California. I was there. As we listen to Dr. Maloney, we say, I want that. So listen carefully to Dr. Maloney today. This may be for you today. Thank you. Here he is, the late Dr. James Maloney, via recording.
She was a unique individual. And there was about 7,000 people in the circular auditorium. And the platform was lower than the seats. And I'm sitting right there, you know, in the center aisle and right on the edge there. And all of a sudden, this radio voice boomed and said, and here's Catherine. Now, it was like she was shot out of a cannon. Now, she didn't walk down the aisle. She twirled and spun. Now, you know, Catherine wore these dresses that probably had about 9 to 10 yards of unnecessary cloth. And, she was just a unique, strange person. And I say that with all reverence. And she's just twirling down the aisle, you know. And I'm looking back at her. And all of a sudden, you know, she comes right up next to me, and she looks down at me, and she gets this smirk smile on her face. It's like feisty little. And that's the last thing I remember. She took her dress and just covered my body. Just swung her arm and just covered me. That's the last thing I remembered. I missed the whole 4-hour miracle service. I was a little upset, because they told me how, you know, people had walked out of wheelchairs and blind eyes open were deaf ears. And all I remember is halfway coming to, and she was down in the front. She just got to the front, turned around, and she made this statement, have you been waiting for me? You know, it was so dear. And that's the last thing I remember. In other words, after everybody had vacated, they finally found me. My feet were sticking out, and they pulled me out. And I didn't know what it meant to be intoxicated in the Spirit, drunk in the Holy Ghost, you know, caught up. I like to use the word in a rapturous encounter with God, because that's what the word rapture means, not the rapture. I'm talking about a rapturous encounter in the Lord. I didn't know what that was, really. I mean, I was caught up into this heightened sense of the awareness of the manifest presence of God. And let me tell you something, at 15 and a half, it revolutionized my life. I don't know what happened, but there came upon my life, I want you to hear this phrase, because I'm believing this. Now, I know we've overused this word, impartation. Everybody say it, impartation. And I don't want to just use that word lightly, impartation, you know, glibly, just, okay, but really, honestly, as I was just seeking the Lord, I just kept hearing that word impressed upon my spirit, an impartation. And really, I sensed this, you know, a virtue in the Lord. And I've come that I might impart to you some spiritual gift that you would be established. I want you to just not look at the vessel that's speaking for just a few moments, and we'll begin to minister here in the operations of the Spirit. But just, I want you, when you listen for the next 15 or 20 minutes And I just believe that if you'll just, you know, while you're listening to me, realize that, you know, here's an individual that, as our dear brother and sister, we've spanned 40 years. 40 years. Now, I only share that with you because I remember when I was a student at 18 years of age in the Bible school I attended, that I would sit there and there would be 85-year-olds that were teaching and preaching. And they remembered when Smith Wigglesworth had come to America. In fact, one of the gentlemen had brought him to America. And how Brother Wigglesworth, you know whom I'm talking about, laid hands upon him. Then he in turn said, now what I'm going to do, students, is I'm going to lay hands upon you, because it has nothing really to do with us. It has everything to do with the Holy Spirit and how he's moved through the generations. So we would sit there, and if we heard a man or a woman that was dynamic in their faith, you know, I would sit there and say, Lord, I would want that aspect of who you are that I see in his or her life. Would you allow that quality and virtue to be imparted in my life? Or if they operated in a tremendous level of high wisdom, I would just sit there, and so would the other students. Would you just take that aspect of who you are in the name of wisdom and impart those certain attributes? And a lot of these precious men and women would take the time. I mean, there's 900 students, and lay hands on us. And I remember one particular prophet, his name was Dick Mills. He just recently died. And I remember, you know, he prophesied over 350 students. And he'd just go down. Remarkable. I knew these kids. I knew them. I mean, you talking about specifics. But it was so hilarious because he came up to me and his eyebrow went up. I don't know what that meant. And you could tell he was trying to get a word for me, but it wasn't coming. So he'd go and prophesy over three or four other students, and he'd come back and look at me. Did this about three or four times. It was horrible. I never did get a word. Everyone else did, but I didn't. Thought I'd missed it or something, you know. But I didn't. But that particular encounter with Sister Coleman began to set in my life a pursuit. That one encounter with Sister Coleman revolutionized my life. In other words, there's some individuals that for three or four years keep stumbling over the same issues in their life. And I'm not minimizing what you have gone through or going through. But once you have experienced, now I'm going to give you, as I finish up here in a few minutes, I'm going to give you this word. Are you impressed? And I'm not pronouncing it correctly. I've got to pull out my references. But do you remember in Mark's Gospel? But in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, and there's all kinds of references. Have you ever read when it says that when Jesus taught or preached or when a person was delivered from a demon spirit or healed, they were all astonished? Remember reading that? They were all amazed. What doctrine is this? For this man speaks with authority, not like the scribes I was raised with, you know. But, I mean, they were amazed. They were astonished. Now, there are derivative words that connect. If you study a portion of Scripture, you'll always find one or two key words that jump out. Like, that I might know him and the power. See, those two words, that I might know. That means to be joined heart to heart. That means to make yourself vulnerable, right? Focus upon him as John focused upon Jesus. You remember that in John 13 and laid upon his bosom. In other words, that I might know. I mean, you know someone and there's individuals that you really know. You know that you know that you know. It's progressive and tense. It's a knowing and a real knowing. It's experiential. God wants to be heard, seen, felt, experienced. But I want to say scriptural, amen, and what God defines what we're to experience. And again, when you receive a healing here, you're just experiencing more of who he is, a living piece of evidence of who he is. People need more than just words. They're tired of it, hearing sermons on healings and miracles and never seeing it. That's over. Hallelujah. because we're in a new season. And to the increase. But this is what you've got to allow the Spirit of God to impart to you. It is the word, and I'm not pronouncing it correctly, but it's ecstusia stasis or ecstusis, or let me just say it this way, being ecstatic. It's where, you've heard this, it's where we get the English word ecstasy. Now, I know the world's got its counterfeit, but how many know there is a rapturous experience? Now I'm going to share some things. Are you willing to stretch just a little? Because I'm going to use some terminology you've not heard possibly before. Because I believe that there is being raised up, not just sonship, as important as that is, not just an Elijah company. I love all the Elisha companies, the Deborah company, all of them. There is a people that God is imprinting simply just who he is in an impactive way supernaturally that are going to be caught up in the Spirit. Now, I'm not saying that we're going to be weird or sensational. We're going to be very practical. We're going to meet people right where they're at. But, you know, we're positioned with Christ in heavenly places. And I think that just God wants that positioning to become more experiential. Now, hear this. It's not so much, and there's truth in this, you know, asking God for whatever's happening in heaven to invade in this earth realm. There's a truth in that. But you've got to understand, we got to step beyond that, because the kingdom of God already abides within you, the kingdom of heaven, right here. And what I want is I want to get set free from everything that's soulishly that binds me. Read Colossians 3, you know, to the earthly, or the earthliness, not a word, and to rise up in my spirit man and experience who he is in a fresh and new way. I don't want to miss what God's doing in this hour. Right? You know, it's just like people remember what God did in 1994 in Toronto, or 1997 in Pensacola, or in the Jesus movement or whatever. I mean, the cloud of God's Spirit's moving. I want to stay just, if Jesus should tarry. Someone came up to me and said, you know, pray that I live to be 120. Are you dumb? Why would you want to live on this earth 120 years? You don't have a revelation of heaven. I've been there. And let me tell you something. You don't want to come back to this earth realm. I remember when some sister asked me to go raise her husband from the dead. Thank you very much. And so brought me off of the hospital, and I went up there. He'd been dead for 45 minutes. And, you know, the sheets laying over him, you know, and I laid my hand, you know, I was quite young, and, you know, I just read Smith Wigglesworth book. So I started rebuking death, and his body started shaking. Man, I was looking for the loo. All of my bodily functions started this body started shaking. I hear this booming voice out of heaven. Leave me alone. Yes, sir. I don't blame you. He didn't want to come back. Honestly, I heard that. It was audible word behind me. Leave me alone. And it wasn't nice either. Must have not yet gone through a purging or something. Just leave me alone. So I had to go tell his wife, you know. He said just leave him alone. He didn't want to come back, you know. I love her response. She said, oh, okay. I'd rather be there too. Pray that I go. No. I'm not going to do that. I've actually had people come to prayer lines. Pray that I die, Brother Jim. It's the word. It's where we get the word trance. I mean, how do you know? How do you know if you were listening to Jesus, the teacher, how was he any different than the other teachers previously had come or whatever? Because when Jesus preached or taught, there was something supernaturally imparted to the people. Like, He said, the kingdom of God is at hand. It's now, right now. And when he would preach a peace, he would say, you know, I'll give you a peace that the world can't give. Instantaneously, supernatural peace was imparted to them. Or joy. That's how they knew that there was a sign that followed his preaching and teaching. God never intended for the word to be taught, preached, declared, prophesied without a particular sign or impartation or release to follow. Now, my prayer tonight is to ask you, you know, are we really open? Are we willing to be a congregation that correctly interprets what it really means to be in the Spirit? Because I think we're on a journey here. And again, staying scriptural, but yet allowing the Holy Spirit to correctly interpret to us how that word is to be seen or heard or experienced. And, you know, what happened to me with Sister Kuhlman, I was raptured. I was caught up. I was in a trance. And there is a dove company that are going to enter into rapturous and what I term translation experiences, not just in the renewing of your mind, but physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Are you hearing this? That are encountering God in such a way that they're in their walk with the Lord before people, that the kingdom of heaven is going to be experienced, felt, heard, seen, and manifested. And people are going to be astonished. I love it when I pray for the sick because it's so much fun because it's not just the physical healing, you know. We've had over 50 pacemakers disappear in the last 5, 6, 7 years. No, I mean, they disappear. No, you didn't hear that. The pacemakers dissolve. It's really fun to get evac when they go to their doctor who put the pacemaker in. And, you know, and other things, you know. And it's fun. But it's what's also enjoyable isn't just the healing. It's the encounter. One quick illustration. This is a whole message. Don't worry, I won't preach it. In Acts chapter 19, verse 11 and 12, you all been taught this. God wrought special miracles. Everybody say special. Let's say it correctly like a Texan. Special. Come on, say it again. Special. And if you study the word out, it means when Paul laid his hands upon people, obviously they encountered something, right? Because they were in the occult, steeped in paganism. Whatever they've been involved in for years, whatever they experienced in 15 or 20 seconds when Paul laid hands upon them, caused them to renounce all of the occult and all the paganism. Think about that. It's what I called experiencing the zzz of God. Now listen to me. We love to experience the manifest presence of God when we worship and praise corporately. And we've exercised our freedoms and liberties to express our adoration to the Lord. But we've got to go just beyond that corporateness when it comes time to praise and worship and we feel the manifest presence of God. It's got to be translated in the practicalities of our everyday walk with Him. In various situations and circumstances. And so God brings ministries like myself and others that, okay? In other words, I want you that when I lay hands upon you, I want you to experience this. Yeah, get healed, but encounter something. Because every time I lay hands upon people, I just envision Catherine Kuhlman. And it's just kind of like the generational thing kicks in. Special miracles means that which went beyond the normal, which is any miracle normal, but I'm just saying, you know, there was something added to the healing, something added to the deliverance. That's what it means. Not only did it add something to the person who is the recipient when Paul laid hands on, I don't know what they experienced, you know, but it also went into the very, this is the word special, the region, the proximity around them, the area. It pulled down the principalities and powers. Now, I'm all for when the Holy Spirit leads and directs and guides intercessors to bind. You just need to be led of the Spirit of God on that. All right? I think it's more just advancing the kingdom of God and loose things, hallelujah, and the miracles themselves tear down the principalities and powers. And I've proven this time and time again all over the world. I'm in this particular Middle East country. I will not mention its name because it's under civil war right now. And they got a hit on my life. No, they got a contract out on my life. I think it's a little low. It was 1 million. I think it's 5 now. And I can't mention it because they monitor these, you know, services, check my website constantly, these extremists. But I went to this particular nation that's 99% Muslim, and it's under civil war right now. And this is not the only reason why that things got stirred up, but one of the reasons why was because I held the first ever, really, outdoor conference crusade. It was illegal. Freaked out all the unbelieving believers. And what got them was, man, a Muslim. The Christians fought me for a week. I upbraided them. Well, we'll move on. Hallelujah. But this Muslim guy stands in front of me, and his right arm had never been correctly created. It was like a little six-month-old arm dangling there. Seriously. Just about that long, you know, emaciated, just useless. And so, you know, now you think I'm real man of faith and power for the hour, but when I laid my hands on that man, now you got to understand, I sense God's presence because God's people are here. You got to learn that the kingdom of God abides within you. You can't go by feeling or I sense God's prayer. You got to just believe it right out of your spirit. You know what I'm trying to say? And so more than once, this has been my prayer of faith. God, help. And so that was my prayer of faith. And God, you know, God's got to have a sense of humor. So the upper part of his arm popped like popcorn. That's what it sounded like. So the whole shoulder and the upper arm to his elbow just grew out normally. As the other one. And then I figured, well, now I'm getting real strong in faith now. Well, if God did the upper part, he'll do the lower part. And he did. It took about 2 minutes. And so the man's arm was perfectly made normal. Well, all of the Muslims started sobbing and weeping and crying out, Yeshua, Yeshua. And all of the believers started upbraiding me. Now what are we going to do? You've ruined our ministry here. So now they're all going to expect to see the same thing. Duh. So, the Muslim guy says, look, come to my village, all of your team. So, I got about 30 radicals out of this group of about 100 Christians. And he takes us and brings out, it was so humorous because he thought the only thing that Jesus healed people of was polio and crippling conditions. So, he brought them all out, about 150. So I said, go for it, guys, because the reason why I didn't pray for him was that he took me and said, now, we're going to give you the demonized. I said, excuse me? There were two men that had been chained to the wall, one for 12 years, one for 4 years. It was hilarious. They unchained them and ran and leapt through the door and locked the door and barred it closed, left me in there with this maniac. First one was no problem. The second one, I had to get a little physical. It wasn't a pretty sight. But, they got delivered. Well, all the cripples got healed. All of them. So these Muslims, they don't know any different. I said, Jesus, saving Lord of your life. And I just go, and so before you know it, there's at one time a group of about 200. We're going all over this country I will not mention and just seeing hundreds healed. Well, think about this. The people were thinking, look, this is the kingdom of God. It's in the now. And we're under the tyranny of oppression because of this regime. So just common sense dictates, this is what they told me. Well, okay, if Jesus were free in this area, he doesn't want us to live under civil tyranny. So all of these miracles, it's not the only reason, but one aspect of the reason why civil war has broken out in this country were the miracles. That's why I'm not liked. They want to kill me. And when the time comes and I'm ready to meet Jesus, I have no problem going to that nation and standing up. I'm just not quite ready yet. Are you willing to allow something unique to be experienced? All right? Are you willing to respond to that moving of the Spirit? I can't tell you the people that I've laid hands on, hundreds that have said, now, Brother Maloney, I want to be healed. Now, I'm not saying you have to fall under the power of God to be healed. I'm not into that. Got to need my help. I got up in this prayer line here about 2 years ago, and I will not mention this minister's name. You'll know who I'm talking about. And young pup of about 29 or 30, and you know, he comes up to me and he says, quit resisting, Brother Maloney, quit resisting. Because everybody's pushing everybody over. Nobody's going to push this old boy over. All Catherine Coleman had to do was, and that was it. You know. I got so tired of it, man. I mean, he's giving me a neck pain, you know, about the 15th push. Quit resisting. Oh, hush. You know. There's righteousness. Come on, speaking of praise him. There's peace. There's joy. There's an encounter. Don't you think they're quite happy in heaven? Huh? You think there's a lot of leaping and skipping and jumping going on in heaven? Trust me, there are. I get tickled. You know, people think that heaven's music is one great big classical ensemble. You've not heard the sound of heaven. It's quite unique. It's very what we would term primitive. A lot of drums. And then archangels would make declarations. And the clanging of cymbals. And then French horns would, you know, sound forth. And flautists would play. And it would be just very, very in the natural, disjointed, but yet everything was harmonious when I heard heaven's music. But it was like declarations. It was like, boom, 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 boom. Wasn't this classical, you know. I'm sure that they have that up there, but I never, you know. I heard, I've heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. I've heard the voice of Jesus, and I've heard the voice of the Father. Very distinctive, but yet one. And the voice of the Father is like the sound of rushing water. It's got a hum. It's got a, oh my God. It's life transforming. That I might know him. Are you willing, if the Holy Spirit wills and directs, to be caught up in the trance of God? That's where we get the word. Are you? I don't think so. I'm not too convinced. You sure now? No, I just want a measure. Just enough to get me healed. Brother Maloney, I want to be healed, but I don't want to have to fall. No, I'm not saying you have to fall to be healed. I'm just saying if God wants you to fall, you're going to fall. Or you just stand there and get raptured, caught up. Translated, transfigured. After this, you're going to come into greater visions. Come on, let's praise him. You're going to come into greater dreams. You're going to come into greater rapturous experiences. Say amen.
Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life.
Thank you for flying with Global Air Force.